back to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 1, for a few moments today as you pray for us. I want to continue a thought that the Lord placed upon our heart a couple of weeks ago. We begin to look here in Romans chapter 1, started in, I believe, verse number 18, read down through about verse 25. And I want to continue some thoughts that the Lord's placed upon our heart. I didn't know and preaching on that Sunday morning a couple of weeks ago that God would direct our heart back here, but he has. And pray be a blessing and a help and a challenge to each and every one here this morning. And we look at the thought on the battle for the mind out of these verses of Scripture and give you a couple of thoughts, and I'll review those in just a few moments. And I want to read a few more verses of Scripture today. Matter of fact, finish up reading here Romans chapter number 1 as Paul's writing back to the church at Rome. And, of course, there's a lot of different situations and circumstances that certainly as you think about Rome and certainly their rise to power and also their fall as well. And we see Paul's writing back here to Rome, to the church there, and giving some instructions and things there. And I pray, again, as we look here in chapter number 1, that God, again, speak to our hearts. If you're here today lost, that God, again, will convict you and draw you this very day. Romans chapter number 1. I'm going to start reading down in verse number 24 this morning. If you found your place in the precious word of God, say amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the word of God. If you're able to stand, and certainly if you're not able, that's okay. Romans chapter number 1, starting in verse number 24, the Bible says, "Wherefore God also gave them up." Now I want you to notice that phrase. You'll find that phrase mentioned two different times. And then in verse number 28, we see that God gave them over. So I want you to notice these phrases this morning in the Word of God. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Notice in verse 25, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creation," or the creature, "more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." And verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over," notice that in verse 28, "over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient." That word convenient means fit. Verse 29, "being filled," I want you to notice now in verses 29 through verse 31, some of the conditions also that Paul's writing about. And it's like opening up a newspaper or listening, if you will, to the evening news. Notice what he says, "being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Father, to thank you, Father, for another day on this side of eternity, to thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, for this time that, Lord, we've been able to come back to your house this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for the teaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the singing this morning. Lord, all this has been done in your name. Lord, we thank you for your Word. And Lord, I realize these are difficult scriptures this morning as, Father, we stand in this place. But, Lord, it is the Word of God. And I pray now that you'd anoint your servant, Father, with fresh oil one more time. God, I pray that, God, you give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. I pray that, God, I would preach just exactly those things that you placed, Father, upon my heart for this service. And then, Lord, I pray, Lord, as the word of God goes out, I pray ears and hearts, Father, will be open and receptive to that which you have for us. Lord, for this day, Lord, we're certainly living, no doubt, in these very times, these wicked times, even as Paul was writing about this time to the church at Rome. Lord, we're living in such wicked time, and Lord, no doubt it's perilous times, but Lord, I'm glad today that, Father, you're still on the throne. I'm glad you're still saving. Glad you're still redeeming. I'm glad you're forgiving. And Lord, if there be anybody here today, Lord, that's never trusted you as their Savior, I pray that, God, through the preaching of your word, that, God, you would convict them and draw them. Lord, this very day, Lord, that you would, Lord, that they would come and receive you. Father, as a personal Lord and Savior, and Lord, one cold and indifferent, out of the will of God, maybe let some things, Father, come into their heart and their mind and their life that, Lord, you're not pleased with. God, I pray. God, just use us here this morning. God, I pray. Oh, God, Holy Ghost of God, work in our hearts and, Father, work in our lives. God, I pray you to remove every hindrance. Lord, I know these are things that, Lord, are not popular in preaching on in these days, but, Lord, they need to be proclaimed from the pulpit. Lord, and I pray, God, that you'd help us now. Lord, use the message and, Lord, encourage and strengthen us and challenge us. Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do. In Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Have the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. For a few moments this morning, I want to begin to look at a thought here or continue the thought of where we started just a few weeks ago or a couple of weeks ago on the battle for the mind. Of course, last week being Mother's Day, and we shared some things about mothers and different things, and thankful that we could do that. But today I want to get back on course today on where the Lord would have us to be in the service this morning, talking about the battle for the mind. And we've done that, I guess we said week before last on Sunday morning. And we talked about three different things, certainly especially in that service, about those things that affect our mind. As we talked about the battle of the mind, and we looked at these verses, and we looked at the progression of the rejection of the things of God and the Word of God and God Himself. And of course, that last progression being that reprobate mind, which the word reprobate means to be unapproved, means to be rejected, means to be worthless, means to be cast away. And certainly, I'm afraid that we're living in that very time, as even as we look at the time that we're living in today, and we give you three things that certainly that affects our minds. We said that the things that we look at affects our minds, and not only the things that we look at, but then we said the things that we listen to this morning affects our minds or affects our thought process. And then thirdly, we said that not only are the things that we look at or listen to, but then we said thirdly, those things that we let influence us as far as who or what we will allow to lead us. And so today I pray that each of us this morning would absolutely let the Word of God speak to our hearts here in the service this morning. And as I said, if you let some things influence the way that you think, because the things that influence you the way that you think ultimately influence what you believe. And so today it's very important, again, that the things that we look at, we listen to, and those things that we let or who we let lead us in this walk of life. And so we come to the text that we've read into you here this morning, and certainly I don't have time to talk about all these verses, but I want to look at some sins this morning that lead to a corrupted mind. That would be the title for the message this morning. If I had a title, it would be the sins or some of the sins that lead to a corrupted mind. As we said today in the text, you will find that in verses 24 and verse 26, God gives us a phrase that God give them up. And then in verse number 28, the Bible says God gave them over. Let us examine this morning some of these thoughts from these verses of Scripture today and consider again the sins that lead to a corrupted mind. I'm afraid today there's many, their minds have been corrupted. Could I say today, friend, I'm glad that there's still hope in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll talk about that maybe in the latter part of the message today, but I want to look at these verses of Scripture this morning, if the devil don't try to choke me to death before I can get it preached today. Evidently, somebody here today needs this. I would dare say that probably all of us here this morning needs to think about these things, because it is the time in which we're living in. And boy, oh, Satan's a-raging. He's like that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And listen, it might be your young people. It might be my young people. It might be your family that's affected. Listen today, we're not here throwing stones, but there are some things that I believe we can draw from these verses of Scripture that will make us very aware of the sins that will corrupt the mind. And so I want you to think about that as we preach here for just a little while this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, out of verse number 24, the Bible says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." The first thing that I thought about, and I'm probably just going to deal with a couple of verses of Scripture here this morning in the salt of these sins that corrupt or will corrupt the mind. The first thing that I thought about in these verses of Scripture is, first of all, the weakness of the flesh. The weakness of the flesh. And you'll find, you say, "Well, preacher, I don't see that here in the text." Well, if you'll notice in verse 24, he talks about giving to uncleanness to the lust of their own hearts. That word "hearts," as it's used here in our Bibles today, it simply means the thoughts or feelings. Listen to me this morning. If we decide to follow after the flesh, God will allow us to do that. Let me say that again, friend. If you decide in your own heart and in your own mind, if you decide to follow after the direction of your flesh, then God will allow you to do that. Now, that's not God's will for you to do that. That's not God's will for me to do that. Listen, we need to follow Him and follow His Word and follow His direction this morning. But there's so many today that's following after the flesh. The saying of our day is, if it feels good, just do it. I'm telling you this morning, we need to understand, yes, God will allow us to do that, but also I want you to understand that there are consequences to following after the flesh. And so this morning, we need to be aware of that. So many people today, and I'm afraid even sitting in church pews, listen, I'm not here again to throw any stones today. I'm here to help you with the Word of God, because I truly believe one of the things that is corrupting the minds of so many people as they have just decided that they're going to follow after their flesh and do their own thing. Listen, preacher, I don't need people preaching to me and telling me how I need to live and what I need to do. Listen, we need somebody. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to raise up. Hallelujah. And sound the alarm and sound the warning. Friend, your flesh will lead you astray. Your flesh will get you in trouble. Your flesh, if you follow after the desires and the lust of your flesh this morning, will bring about consequences in your life and in my life that will not be pleasant. I want you to understand that today. God's way, as I've said so many times, God's way, God's way, God's way this morning, my friend, is always, always, always the best way. For me and for you. So I want you to notice, I got an amen from a little fellow back there. I done heard it, amen. I tell you, that'll make you want to preach this morning. The weakness of the flesh. James chapter number 1, verses 14 and 15. I'm sure you're familiar with them. But the Bible says, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away," notice, "of his own lust and enticed." And then verse 15 says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Listen, friend, that's what you get this morning in following after the flesh, going your own way and doing your own thing. Paul's writing and warning to this church here and to you and I this morning. Friend, don't follow after your way. Go God's way today. Come by the cross of Calvary. Listen to me, friend. Oh, I'm glad, thank God, that blood that they sang about this morning. I'm glad it's still fresh. I'm glad it's still real. I'm glad it's still works. Matter of fact, it's the only thing it will. Aren't you glad this morning? Thank God that the blood still saves. The blood still redeems. The blood still forgives. Thank God this morning for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Don't follow after the weakness of your flesh this morning, my friend. I believe God's given us a progression, as we already talked about in these preceding verses, but then we come to these verses and we see those sins that get the mind corrupted when we follow after the desires of our flesh. It'll get us in trouble today. James says, when it's finished, it brings forth death. And I want you to notice today, this morning, friend, in our text, that here, after we think about the weakness of the flesh, I want you to notice the second thing as we talk about the sins that bring about a corrupted mind in verse number 25. I want you to see it this morning. Notice what he says. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, there's a progression. There's the weakness of the flesh, and then there is a changing of the Word of God. Oh, my. Is that not just exactly the time that we're living in this morning? They're doing everything they can to change the Word of Almighty God. But I'm glad it's forever settled in heaven. Amen. As much as they try to change it, and as much as they try to rearrange it, and as much this morning as they try to do damage to the Word of God, I'm glad this morning the Word of God will stand when the world's on fire. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God for the eternal Word of Almighty God. We notice in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The second thing, not only the weakness of the flesh, but then secondly this morning, the Word of God, or the changing, if you will, of the Word of God will bring about a corruptness in the hearts and the minds of individuals today. Let me say something about the Word of God this morning. We either receive the Word of God or we reject the Word of God. As much, hallelujah, thank God I like this, as much as man may try to change the Word of God, as I said, it's already forever settled in heaven today. Friend, you can try to change it. You can try to rearrange it. The devil can try to do whatever he wants to. I'm glad, thank God again, it's forever settled. I'm glad this morning, thank God, it is the living Word of God. And too many people today, hallelujah, this morning, friend, is trying to change what God has already established. I'm telling you, thank God, what God said, God meant this morning. There's no use trying to change it. You either receive it or you reject it today. One or the other. I believe it's a progression that we see in the text that brings about the corruptness of the mind. And we're living in a time of very corrupt minds. Is that God's will? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you what, friend, you must make the decision. You must decide who you get, who you're going to listen to, what you're going to look at, and who you're going to let lead you. And I'm telling you, friend, if you listen to the wrong ones, you follow the wrong ones, you'll get into shape just exactly like we see here in the book of Romans. And the only hope for you this morning is somebody to tell you about the one that hung between heaven and earth and gave his life on an old rugged cross to pay a debt that you could not pay. Hallelujah. Thank God again for the blood of Calvary this morning that washes away that sin and takes that corruption out of our minds. It's the only thing that'll work this morning, my friend. Mind's been corrupted from the weakness of the flesh and from the Word or the truth of God being changed into a lie. As I said, that's Satan's lie. And so you must be careful today when you begin to question. See, that's what happened in the very Garden of Eden, in the beginning, when man had perfect conditions and Adam and Eve were there in the garden and everything was great and everything was good. And then Satan begins to come around and say, yea, hath God said. Begin to question what God had already established. See, today, these things that I read into you, you're hearing this morning, see, that don't bother people anymore. Sin don't bother people anymore. I mean, we can sit right in the church pew and we can raise our hands. Sometimes we can sing in the choir. Sometimes we might even teach a Sunday school class. Sometimes we might even be standing in a pulpit. And sin don't bother us anymore. God help, what's happened? Our minds have been corrupted. God's Word is still true, and let God's Word be true, and every man a liar. I'm telling you this morning, friend, this Word of God will stand. It stands today. It'll stand tomorrow. It'll stand next week. It'll stand next year. It's going to stand for all eternity. What you and I need to do is receive it, apply it to our hearts and to our lives. Let it change us, not try to change it. But that's the time where God didn't really mean that. Oh, my friend, God did mean that. I'm telling you, friend, we need to get back back to the place where sin bothers us again. Hallelujah, we're holy and righteous living is what we want to do. I'm telling you and proclaiming this word and letting the world know there's a God in heaven that loves them and will forgive them, and he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy to live for. But they change the word of God into a lie. God didn't really mean that. God won't send me to hell. God won't judge me. Well, friend, I'll tell you what, you don't want to put that to the test. Yes, God's a God of love. But look at these verses. God's also a God of judgment. Don't play around with the things of God. Too many people are playing church. Amen, preacher. I mean, everybody's excited about being here. Might as well just go ahead and ramp it up a little. Amen. Everybody you run into saved anymore, but yet they can live like the devil, do what they want to. Sin don't bother them. Friend, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. God's still holy. Amen. I'm going to preach him that way till God takes me out. God takes me out, takes my voice. God's a holy God. I don't need to change what God said. I need to abide and apply what God said. But everybody's going to heaven. But friend, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to come a sad day when you close your eyes in death and you ain't right with God. There may be somebody right here today. Well, preacher, I walked an aisle one time, and I shook the preacher's hand, and I done this, and I done that. Friend, I ain't asking you what you've done. Hallelujah, I'm asking you, what did Jesus do? Thank God, I'm asking you, is there a day in your life that you realize that she's on the road to hell, that she's dirty and sinful, and that you'd sinned against it all? Mighty God, a holy God, a righteous God, and you'd sinned against him. I'll tell you what, that sin, hallelujah, begin to bother you, and God was convicting you and drawing you, and you found your way to Calvary, and hallelujah, something moved out, but something bigger, thank God, moved in. Hallelujah, thank God for the day I realized I was on the road to hell, made my way to Calvary, got born again by the good grace of God. I'm not everything I need to be. I've done everything the way I should have done it, but thank God, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, and on my way to heaven, thank God, because of Calvary today. Amen. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Christ accomplished 2,000 plus years ago at a place called Calvary. God help us as saved individuals that sin would bother us again. Amen, that the corruption and the sin that we see around us and tries to evade our lives would bother us once again, because sin is still sin in the eyes of Almighty God. God help us today. Notice the progression of the corrupted mind. We see the weakness of the flesh, of the heart, the thinking, and the feelings. And of course we know what Jeremiah said about the heart, that it is deceitfully wicked and all those things. But then we come to this second thought of the word or the truth of God is changed. Jesus said in John chapter number 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let me give you three things about the Word of God. Now, there's many things that I could say about it, but let me give you three things to think about this morning before I move on to the next point. First of all, I thought about the Word of God. Number one, it's pure. The Word of God is pure. In a day of so much corruptness and so much sin, I'm glad there's something that's still pure. I'm glad it's the Word of God. Preacher, how do you know all that? Because of what the psalmist said in Psalms 119 and 140. He said, thy Word is very pure. It's not only pure, but he says it's very pure. And he says not only that about it, but he says, thy servant loveth it. We ought to get back to the place Hallelujah. I might just preach right here while I'm closing down. We ought to get back to the place where the very pure Word of God, thank God, excites us and ignites us. And I'll tell you what, thank God it'll instruct us. There's your 3 points that don't even have them wrote down. I'm telling you this morning, thank God for the very pure Word of God. And the psalmist said, thy servant loveth it. We'll get back to the place that we just love the Word of God. We'll get back to the place, thank God, where we want to get in it. It'll help us to grow. It'll help us to prosper. It'll help us to keep our minds right. It'll help us to keep our hearts right. Oh, my soul, thank God for the pure Word of God this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah. I don't need to change it. Don't need to rearrange it. I just need to get in it, let it get in me. I'll get in it, let it get in me. I won't have time to let things corrupt my mind. Hey, it's hard at the very best. Everywhere you look, everywhere you listen, sin, sin, sin. Corruptness. How in the world am I going to keep my mind right? How's my family going to keep its mind right? How's the church? Listen, we don't need entertainment. You can get all the entertainment you need and want, actually more than you need or want, after you get out those doors. Hey, man. We're living in a day to where we've got to entertain. Hello. It gets to the place that that's all we're doing around here is entertaining people. All we're going to have is a social club and there won't be no church to it. Amen. Amen. Now you can either amen me or we'll be here for another hour. I'm getting a few now. People starting to get hungry, hanging about lunch. Listen, I'm not preaching against entertainment. There's times that there's entertainment that's good for all of us. Maybe that helps us to relax and all those kind of things. Listen, I'm not preaching against, but listen, thank God we come in here. We don't need to be entertained. Thank God, we need the very pure Word of God preached into our souls, sung into our souls, taught into our souls. That's what we need, because that's the only thing that will change us and make us different. But oh, we want to be entertained. Let me give you another thing about the Word of God. Not only is it pure, but the Word of God is perfect. How many perfect things you know about this morning? I don't know of any. That includes me and you. Amen. But I'm glad this Word is perfect. How do you know that, preacher? Because God Himself said so. How do you know that? Well, because of what Psalms 19:7 says. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Y'all hearing me? I know it's a little boring this morning, but perk up a little bit. We're getting on down about halfway through this thing. Y'all hearing me? Not only is the Word of God pure, but the Word of God is perfect. Converting the soul. What's that mean, preacher? The only thing, thank God, the only way you can get saved and redeemed by the good grace of God is to receive, hallelujah, the living Word of God this morning that is pure and that is perfect. I'll never be perfect on this side, but the more I'll get in this and this gets in me, the greater I can live for Him, the greater influence I can have for Him, the better I can keep my mind right and my heart right. Oh, God, give us this morning the pure Word of God. Not only pure, but it's perfect. Converting the soul. Social programs won't bring about salvation. Entertaining will not bring about salvation. Jumping the pews and swinging from the chandeliers won't bring about salvation. Now, it might be a result of genuine salvation. Amen. Yeah, yeah. think we ought to still get excited about being saved. Thank God for the Sunday morning Jackie Richardson man in the pulpit at Flint Hill Baptist Church. Thank God he didn't open up a newspaper that day. He didn't open up the latest greatest novel that come out that day. Hallelujah, he didn't open up the funny papers. Hallelujah, I'm glad he cracked open. Thank God the living Word of God, the pure Word of God, the perfect Word of God that spoke to my heart and began to draw me to that place of Calvary that converted my precious soul. Thank God this morning for the Word of the living God today, my friend. I don't need to change it. It needs to change me, and it will. Friend, your problem is you just ain't let the Word of God change you yet. You know why you can't get them thoughts out of your mind? You know why you can't get that bitterness out of your heart? That unforgiveness? You know why you can't do that this morning? Because you won't let the living Word of God do so. Hey, man, preacher! There was a progression. There was the weakness of the flesh, and then there is the word of truth, or the word of God is changed. Notice the word of God is not only pure, but it's perfect. Let me give you something else. Psalms 119, 160, as far as the word of God being perfect. The psalmist said in 119, verse 60, thy word is true from the beginning. I'll tell you something this morning, friend. You can't count on much what people tells you today. But don't you listen to this preacher here this morning. You can count on what God said. There used to be a time, Brother Archie, where men would shake hands. And son, that's just like signing it in blood. I remember as a little boy growing up, daddy shake hands with a man. And I'll tell you what, that was just as good as signing any contract in any lawyer's office. They'd just shake hands and the deal was done. I'm telling you what, today you can have handshakes, you can even have contracts, and they'll break them. I'm telling you, thank God, thank God, thank God. I'm glad there's a God in heaven. I'm glad there's a pure word. I'm glad there's a perfect word from the beginning. When God says something, friend, you can take her to the bank. It's better than any, thank God, handshake. It's better than any contract. It's sealed. And what God said, God will do this morning, my friend. Preacher, I can't give it up. I can't quit. I can't get it out of my mind. I'll tell you what, you let the Word of God work in your heart and your mind, and thank God what you can't take care of, He can. He can. He can today, my friend. Amen. Yes. How will He do it? He'll do it through His Word. Amen. See, today we change. Everything's all right anymore. Yeah. You know what they've done? They've changed the Word of God, or the truth of God, into a lie. Now you can take portions of Scripture and take them out of context and make them say about anything you want it to say. Amen. You can make it say about anything you want. You can prove just about any doctrine, man-made doctrine you want to prove. But you better take it within context of what God's talking about. You must see who he's talking to, who he's writing to, why he's writing.
Amen.
Amen.
You're right.
Because God has a purpose for his word.
Yes.
And then he said something in Isaiah, something like this, that his word would not return unto him what?
Void.
Right. But he said something like this, it'll accomplish whatever I send it to do. I'm paraphrasing. That's what God's saying. Our young people are being convinced today that all this is hocus pocus. Now to us, some of us more mature, getting on up in years, folks, we've probably not had as much problem. But I'm telling you, these young people are bombarded. Well, this thing called evolution, or they call it evolution, is that really evolution? If you can convince a young'un that it sprang from a monkey, They ain't no wonder some of them act like monkeys. Hey, man, preacher.
You're right.
Well, preacher, I just don't agree with all that. Well, I'm doing the preaching. Amen. When they hire you on as preacher, then you can do the preaching, but I'm doing it this morning. Hey, man. When you teach them that there was an amoeba formed out there somewhere out in the universe millions of years ago, and it kept forming, it turned into a tadpole turned into a frog, and somewhere along that thing climbed out, turned into a fish, and climbed out of the water and began to turn into a... My soul, it takes more faith to believe that than in the beginning was God. I'm telling you this morning, I'm glad His Word is forever settled. I'm glad it's pure. I'm glad it's perfect. And for that, I'm glad it's powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They can try to discredit all they want to, but thank God it'll stand. It'll stand. The Word of God is powerful. Hebrews 4:12. Let me read it to you quickly. You know it, but let me read it. For the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what people need today? They need a good dose of good Bible, Holy Ghost Bible preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Because Jesus said something like this. And the truth shall what? Set you free. And He said, as I've set you free, you're free what? Indeed. People are living in bondage. Our young people are being delivered into a life of bondage. Amen. If there's no God, then there's no accountability. If we just kind of happen to be here, and then when we leave, we just leave out. Friend, you got an eternal soul. And whether you want to admit it or not, that eternal soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. And there ain't but two places. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And what you do with Jesus determines where you go. What you do with this Word. He tells us in John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and all those things are in John, chapter number 1, the Gospel of John. You know who that is, don't you? That's Jesus. Amen. He's the Word. Yes. The sins that are corrupting the mind of today's people is the weakness of the flesh. It is the Word of God being changed into a lie. Thirdly, I want you to notice something else, and I promise I'm trying to get hurt done here. Not only is the Word of the truth of God changed, but then notice that worship is corrupted. Ooh! Boy, it got quiet right there. Verse 25 again, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Right. They had tree huggers back in too. Preacher, I can't believe you said that from the pulpit. Well, I did. They evidently had some trouble with tree huggers too.
That's right.
Now listen, I'm not trying to throw rocks and be derogatory in any way towards anybody. But today, people are worshiping the creation and not the Creator. It's interesting as you study that word, or those words that are used here in this text of verse 25, let me give you some things about worship. First of all, in this worship being corrupted, I want you to understand that we all were designed to worship. Preacher, I don't worship anything. I don't worship anybody. Yes, you do. You were designed by God Himself to worship. But it's up to you who or what you worship. Now, there's a lot of things that are that are called worship that are not worship. Whew, get quiet again. I'll just preach anyhow, whether you go along, whether you don't. A lot of things are called worship, but they're really not worship. I want to read you some scripture out of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 16, verses 23 through 29. Let me read it to you. When it talks about worship, it says, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation." What should we do in worship? We should show forth the salvation of Christ. Verse 24, "Declare His glory among the heathen." Any heathens running around? I was one time. Some days, I'm not careful, I can still be one. Boy, I'm telling you what, we're really in this thing this morning, ain't we? "Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations." Verse 25, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." I'm afraid some of our worship services is turned into attention services. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Don't ever look at me, praise God. I want you to look to the one, thank God, that hung between heaven and earth and paid a sin debt that you and I could not pay. I got to hurry. "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all little G-O-D-S's. Because there's only one true and living God. Verse 26, "For all the gods of the people are idols." Remember, we talked about 2 weeks ago, one of the progressions in this time that Paul's writing about, the time that we're living in, is the worship of idols. "But the Lord made the heavens." Right, there's enough proof for me and enough proof for you, Brother Archie. Amen. Then verse 29, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." I wonder this morning, how many of us really come in here? We call this a worship service. How many of us really come in here today with our hearts and our minds centered upon giving glory to His name? Getting tough now. "Give unto the Lord the glory that He's due unto His name. Bring an offering." I ain't got time to stop there. And "come before Him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Man. Oh my. I wish I had time to deal with these verses, but I don't. I might have sometime, though. But worship in the beauty of holiness. That means if there's anything in my heart and my mind I need to get rid of, if I'm going to really worship, I'm going to get that thing taken care of. But we're living in a time of the weakness of the flesh, the changing of the Word of God, and the corrupting of the worship of God. Let me give you a couple of things and I'll soon be done here, I promise. The word worship, as it's used in the text, it means to adore, it means to revere. Who do we adore? Who do we revere? Who do we reverence? Him. The word serve means to render, to pay homage to. Then we have the word creature used in our text in verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. who is blessed forever. Amen. That creature now has three different meanings. It can mean a formation. It can mean even a building. Hello. Some people are worshiping the building then more than they're worshiping the God that gave them the building. And then it means creation itself. Listen, we ought to be respectful to the world that we live in. Amen. But friend, I ain't worshiping this creation. Because one day it will be burned with fire. They can hug all the trees they want to hug. Man, read those things on and those verses on down there, and it talks about this time. Backbiters and haters of God and despisers and all the. Listen, that's where they'll get out and protest anything. But what's right? Stand for what's right. They want to run you out of the country. The sins that have corrupted the minds. The weakness of this flesh. The word of truth changed into a lie. The worship, the true worship of God, has been substituted for the worship of other things. But let me give you this Elisha this morning and I'm done. That's all I had to say this morning. We'd go out of here sad and pitiful. It's really, because it's the time we're living in. If you can't see that, friend, you need to open up your eyes. Mankind has become corrupted. But let me give you one more thing. The work of God. The work of God. Not only in creation, but the work of God in salvation. The work of God is to redeem and save. Hallelujah. Now, we see again those verses that God, even in these verses, God gave them up, God gave them up, God gave them over. Can a man go too far? You better believe he can. And I believe we're living in a time where people, now that's not my call to make, but they are people that has went too far. But thank God that there's still hope. There's still hope for some out there. Hallelujah. Thank God. Why? Because of the work of redemption, the work of salvation that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary to redeem and to save. Thank God. I'm glad for the redemptive work of Christ. What will change the heart? What will change the mind? The work of the Word of God in your heart and in your mind. Preacher, it doesn't make any difference what I believe. It sure does, because what you believe determines, or what you think determines what you believe. And if your thinking's wrong, then what you believe is wrong. Get your thinking right, and your believing will be right. The work of God in redemption and salvation. Let me give you two things about this work of God. Number one, he's sending out a warning. Just as he's sending out a warning through the Apostle Paul, God is still sending out that warning. That man is depraved and lost, and that he needs a Savior. And that if you continue to go on and look at the wrong things, listen to the wrong things, and let the wrong people or situations lead you, it'll lead you to an ultimate path of destruction.
Right.
And God said, I'm to sound that warning.
Amen.
And God says for you as a child of God that you ought to go out and sound that warning.
Amen.
Judgment's on the way.
Amen.
But not only does God, through his redemptive work, sound a warning, but secondly, He gives an invitation. Thank God for that invitation. Not that the preacher gives at the end of the service, but that invitation that God comes to you personally and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
He will too.
Amen. Could I say that invitation is still going out today? Boy, you may have let some things corrupted your heart and your mind, but friend, there's hope. Thank God if you just get to Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not asking if you shake, have you shake the preacher's hand if you've come and walked an aisle. I'm asking you this morning, have you trusted Christ? Has He changed your life? How in the world a person could say that they're a child of God and not believe what this book says? There are preachers standing across America today that don't even believe the book that they're reading out of. Of course, some of them's got a crooked one. Praise God, if I don't believe that book, I need to close and let somebody else preach it. I believe it from cover to cover. To in the beginning to where John give the last amen. And everything in between. Preacher, I got a problem with that. Well, you don't have a problem with me, you got a problem with God. And the only one that can help you fix that is Him. You can't be saved and live like you want to. God will come calling.
Amen.
If He don't, He's a liar. And there's one thing that this book says that God can't do. He can't lie.
Amen.
So I wonder today, have we let the sins of corruption corrupt our way of thinking? Friend, there's hope. God's sounding the warning. God's giving the invitation. And I just can't help but think God's speaking to somebody's heart this morning. I hope and pray He's speaking to more than just one. Because what you do with Jesus ultimately determines where you spend eternity. But listen, salvation is so much more than just being saved. It's a relationship with the Son of God. They can try to corrupt it, disprove it, all they want to. But at the end of the day, it will forever stand. I think I'll just stand where this stands. How about you? When the devil begins to try to corrupt my mind, and he will, and he'll try to corrupt yours, just get in this. And let this get in you. How do you stand with God today? What is your situation? Do you know Him as Savior? Are you living a life that's pleasing to Him? Are you worshiping Him in holiness? Or are we just playing the game? Let's stand to our feet all over the building, Brother Scotty. Father, we love You today. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the living Word of God. And Lord, I know that I've nowhere begin to be able to scratch the surface of this great portion of Scripture. But Lord, I pray that You give each of us here today something to think about and ponder on. And Lord, oh Satan, boy, he sure does love to try to corrupt the ways of God and the things of God. But I'm glad this word's forever settled. Lord, don't let us give in to the weakness of this flesh and the carnality. And all the things that's going on around us this morning. Help us that we might submit and surrender ourselves to You, to Your Word. Lord, let the worship that comes from my lips, that comes from my heart, be the worship that, Lord, You're worthy of. Because You are worthy. And Lord, nothing else certainly deserves my praise other than You. Lord, we're living in corrupt times. Men's minds have become so corrupted. And Lord, I pray for those that could be here today. In the stillness of the service, I pray the Holy Ghost of God, through the power of His Word, is convicted and drawing. That one that may be here today lost. That one that may be wayward. that one that may give in to. Maybe even some of the things that we've preached about. Maybe some things that we've not preached about. Lord, you know their heart. I'm glad the work of God is still going on. The warning's being sound, but I'm glad, thank God, that the invitation's still being given. And Lord, I pray that there not be anybody in this building today under the sound of my voice. Lord, as if it goes out over the airways, that, Lord, that would have gone too far or would go too far. Where, God, you took your hands back and said, it's enough. Oh, God, I pray. Convict and draw. Save today. Reclaim that one that's backslidden. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name, every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Play softly.